I want to share a small message with you today, and I think it's a good reflection of the season and be an encouragement as with us as we leave and kind of full speed into the Christmas event coming next week as well. Tim just read a verse of scripture that's a part of the familiar story of the story of Jesus' birth, and that is this part of the story where pregnant Mary comes to make a visit to pregnant Elizabeth and the events that take place after that. When you read this story, it makes for a good story, but it's important to know that it's not just a story. All of this really, really happened. As we begin the Christmas story with a message of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Zechariah and Elizabeth were very advanced in years. They were old. They were really old, and Zechariah had been a priest, faithfully serving in the temple for all of his years, and yet Elizabeth had no child. In that culture, if you had no child, you had no blessing. And in fact, it was thought of and interpreted that if you had no child, there must be something wrong with you. There must have been something that you did that God would not bless you with a child. So here is this priest who is faithfully serving the Lord, and all the buzz around the community is a talk of something must be wrong in his life, something must be wrong in Elizabeth's life, that God gave them no child. And they went through all of the childbearing years with that suspicion surrounding them. And yet, while they were under that suspicion, they were faithfully serving the Lord. When all of a sudden, an angel appeared to Zechariah while he was performing the worship in the Holy of Holies in the temple. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't just, you know, hanging out in the field. It was in the Holy of Holies. It was in the temple while he was performing his religious duties on behalf of the people. The people were gathered outside of that sacred religious place, anticipating what? Anticipating that God would speak to them, that God would speak to the priest. It's important to note that God hadn't spoken in the temple or anywhere for 400 years. And yet, Zechariah finds himself practicing the religion. The people are finding themselves gathered outside the temple. Maybe today, maybe it will be this day that God will come back from where he's been and speak to us, his people. And sure enough, God spoke in the form of the angel Gabriel and told old Zechariah, your wife is going to be pregnant and have a child, a baby boy. Well, it was a tale too big for Zechariah to imagine, and he gently debated with the angel. By the way, that's not a wise thing to do. He gently debated with the angel, and the angel said to him, until that baby's born, you're not going to say a word. And so he comes out of the temple with no words to say, but the Spirit of God evident all over him. All of the people knew that he had had a visitation even without him speaking a word. And sure enough, as the days transpired, Elizabeth, maybe 80 years of age, Elizabeth finds herself pregnant with John the Baptist, who was not just any boy. He would be the messenger, the prophet, the communicator of God, preparing the way for the coming of Jesus. And in that same season of time, Mary, young Mary, minding her own business, Mary, 17-year-old Mary, just has a dream of being married to Joseph and having a family and going on with her life. And yet, when you discover the life of Mary, you find that Mary was extremely devoted to God, was extremely faithful to God, had been raised right, had been raised in the temple, had been raised devoted to the Lord in a season of time where God hadn't spoken, yet Mary finds herself faithful, and Gabriel comes to Mary and says to her a similar message to Zechariah and says to her, you are going to become pregnant, not by Joseph, who you're engaged to. You are going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and the child within you is going to be Jesus. He's going to be the Savior. He is the Son of God, and He will save the world from her sins. And it happened to be that after Mary received that news and received the pregnancy of the Holy Spirit, and however that happened, and became clearly pregnant, it happened to be that Elizabeth and Mary were related to each other. Several ways the word could be interpreted, but by their age difference, it was likely that Elizabeth was the aunt to Mary. They had some prior relationship. And so when Mary was fully pregnant and Elizabeth is fully pregnant, they got together to have a chat. You can imagine the conversation they must have had, because here are these two women, frankly, minding their own business, just moving through life, trying to love God, trying to raise their family, and both of them all at once end up with miraculous conceptions and miraculous pregnancies to be, one in old age and one by the Holy Spirit, and they are in a relationship with each other. And the story is told that was read a moment ago, that Mary, when she was becoming fully pregnant and understanding that it, sure enough, the baby was growing in her, she made haste and made a visit to Elizabeth to have that chat, that have that conversation. And as soon as baby Jesus was in the presence of Elizabeth and baby John the Baptist, both in the womb, the story says that John the Baptist leapt in the womb in the presence of Jesus. John the Baptist leaped for joy in the womb in the presence of Jesus. Now just imagine John the Baptist so excited to follow through on his job of announcing that the Son of God is in the room. The Son of God is in the womb. The Son of God is on the earth. Do you guys know what this means? That was John the Baptist's job. In fact, as we speculate that John the Baptist and Jesus grew up together, after all, these two baby boys are born by unusual delivery methods in a way that had never been happened in both of their cases. And they speculate that these two mothers would get together and ponder, what in the world is going on? You can imagine, what in the world is happening trying to raise these two boys? And in fact, young people, I even imagine that when John the Baptist and Jesus were little boys playing chariots and trucks or cars, it wasn't cars and trucks, but playing chariots in the dirt out in the yard with all the other kids around, I imagine there were times where John the Baptist would look at the rest of the boys as the chariots would race and say, hey, y'all know about Jesus, huh? Y'all know about Jesus. And, oh, come on, y'all, you can't be true, John the Baptist. And you know about Jesus, because it was his job. It was his job to tell everyone who Jesus was. In fact, I speculate that eventually the story says that John the Baptist went into the wilderness until the time of the declaration. And I think partly he went into the wilderness because he just couldn't keep the secret anymore. And if he didn't go in the wilderness and get by himself, he was going to go crazy. And in fact, when he came out of the wilderness, he was a little bit wild and a little bit crazy. And the truth of it is, let's just come together. He was crazy about Jesus. Folks, that's inspiring, you know. You and I need to be like John the Baptist in that regard. Just crazy about Jesus. Just wild about him. You know who Jesus is. That was John the Baptist. It all started in the womb. He's flipping for joy at the sight and the presence of Jesus even before he was born. As we go forward into this Christmas week and the rest of our lives, but especially as this story is highlighted at this time of year, the question has to be asked, what happens when we move close to Jesus? It says right there in the story, four or five things, just really quickly, that I want us to think through as we are invited to move close to Jesus. First of all, it says that when we move close to Jesus, we become filled with the Holy Spirit. We understand that to be in its full capacity, that Jesus came to the earth. He was born a baby, but he rose to be a man and a great preacher and a minister and a representative of God. And at the end of his days, when he died and was buried and rose again, he came back before he left, and he delivered the Holy Spirit to the church, to the people of the church, to the believers of the church and of the world. And he said, I am in one form as one human, one body, but when I leave and come again, the Holy Spirit will dwell in everyone all at the same time, and those who believe in you who believe in Jesus Christ have the capacity, have the promise of the Holy Spirit to come and dwell inside of your life, to guide you, to lead you, to nurture you, to encourage you, to pick you up, to direct your path, to be Jesus inside your heart in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It happened when Elizabeth and John the Baptist met Mary and Jesus. It happened. The Holy Spirit was delivered in that moment. Secondly, when we move close to Jesus, we receive unimaginable blessings. Unimaginable blessings. Just take your time for a moment today and in the days to come. Take your time and meditate on the unimaginable blessings that are in your life, in a life of promise. The blessings of health, the blessings of family, the blessings of resources to be able to provide for you and others, the blessings of a church family that loves and nurtures and guides and encourages, the blessings of a relationship with God, the blessings of 24/7 prayer answer line from the Heavenly Father, from God who creates all of the universe, to you, little old me, to realize that He's 24/7 ready and available to listen to any one of the matters of your life, the confusing questions, the difficult days, the what am I going to do now, to realize that you and I are blessed beyond our imagination, beyond our ability even to process and think when we move close to Jesus. Thirdly, when we move close to Jesus, we know humility. We know it. We know humility. Oh, from time to time in our lives, we think we know humility. We think we know how to process being less and others being greater, letting somebody go in front of the line and move to the back of the line. We think we know, but the truth of it is, we don't really know humility until we come to the place where we recognize this wrangling in our hearts, this wrangling in our spirit over this matter of sin and salvation and relationship with Jesus. To really get honest about this matter of sin and this relationship with Jesus, to realize the things that we have done wrong that cause us to be dirty, rotten, scoundrel sinners that have no value whatsoever in the presence of a holy God, much less His Son Jesus, and come to the place in our own personal walk where we realize that horrible matter of thing and things that we do and have done have no business, have no right to be in the presence of God. And yet, Jesus decided, because of through the obedience of the Father, Jesus decided that we can, in our sin, have a relationship with God because of the work of Jesus. And you and I did not deserve any favor from God because of our sin. And yet, Jesus says, on behalf of you to the Father, I give my life to make them worthy. Meditate on that a moment, friends. And then we know humility. We know the matters of the Scripture where the first shall be last and the last will be first. We know in the Scriptures where it says, He must increase and I must decrease. We know when Jesus taught the disciples is to be great, is to be the servant of all. And we know humility, and find our celebration, find our victory, find our meaning in practicing a humble, quiet-spirited, appreciative life with Jesus in the world. We know humility. Fourthly, when all of that transpires and as we move close to Jesus, joy comes. Joy comes. I wrote a little piece in the bulletin today. You might have read it and had a chuckle. widow's banquet a couple of weeks ago was quite comical, because in the gift exchange, the steal the gifts, there was one particular gift that kept getting moved around the room. It was a little stand on a mantle or stand on a hearth, J-O-Y, joy, that everybody wanted. And so it was really quite comical that if somebody opened it, oh, joy, I get to have joy. And then the next one came and took the joy. And then the next one came and took the joy. And the joy just kept going around the room. And we laughed and laughed and laughed because everybody was trying to steal everybody's joy. And it became a great message. I want you to know, dear friend, that nobody can steal your joy today. It is circumstance proof. It is not related to the moment or the events of the day. Joy is only found when we know deep down in our soul, deep down in our life, that this Jesus that came out of the womb and into the manger and to the cross is resident inside my life. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. There is no way that joy can be stolen when you and I move close to Jesus. And lastly, when we move close to Jesus, we begin the process of fulfilling our purpose that becomes complete. Everyone who sits here today, everyone on the planet, wants to live a life of meaning, wants to live a life that makes a mark in some kind of way. The only way that that can be properly done is as we move close to Jesus and He begins to fill our lives with Himself and then fill us with our purpose. Some, when we look around, think that they have a more meaningful purpose because they seem to get more attention, and others don't seem to have as much purpose because they're more quiet. But the truth of it is, regardless of who you are, the encouragement of Jesus is to be who you are and to live in your purpose, not anybody else's purpose. Live in your purpose and fulfill that purpose with all of your might, with all of your enthusiasm, with the leadership of the Lord dwelling inside of you, and you will live a life that's made a mark. You will live a life of meaning and purpose. You will live a life that will be remembered because you've lived in your purpose and lived in who you are, close to Jesus. When Jesus in the womb came to John the Baptist in the womb, John the Baptist flipped and leapt in the womb in the presence of Jesus. The question is this morning, have you moved as close as you can to Jesus? Has He become real to you? Not just a fanciful story that we read and celebrate once a year, but has He become real in your heart? Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus is real to you? In the days to come, there'll be presents under the tree, wrapped, unwrapped, and paper all over the place. But there's no better gift under anybody's tree than the gift of a pure and solid and permanent relationship with Jesus. Let me encourage you today to move close to Him.